This is Carla Atherton, Director of the Healthy Family Formula, and welcome to session three of the three-session health empowerment coaching series, From Struggle to Harmony through the HFF Health Empowerment Method. Because everybody's got to have a method. There's got to be a way to do what I'm philosophizing, of course. All right, so session three. Woohoo! We're talking about energizing and revitalizing. So taking control of your health and your life. And of course, what we talked about in session number two is that the first step to this is to get grounded, right? We need to stop and become aware. And then the next step is what we're going to be talking about right now is taking control. So first things first, know that this is your body, your mind, your life, and no one can or should be in control but you. And so a couple of phrases that I love to bounce around with clients and people that I talk to about this too is that assertion is that I am ready to take the controls and fly the plane, right? And I don't want to survive my life. I want to love my life. I remember that, you know, people, when I was building this house that we live in right now, when we were building our house, I wanted to build a place that I wanted to be in every single day. I didn't want to just have a cabin in the woods, which is very nice, by the way. It's still lovely to have a getaway from your home getaway. I mean, that's still wonderful. But I didn't want to have to get away from where I lived and what my life was. I didn't want to have to feel like I can't wait until holiday time. I can't wait until the weekend, until the rest of my life stops and I actually start to do the things that I want to do. I can't wait for, you know, retirement. I can't wait until, you know, like everything in life is, you know, we didn't want, and then we couldn't wait to get away from it. I resisted that wholeheartedly when we built this house. And I do the same thing when I think about the what I spend my time doing, what I spend my time thinking about, what I put into my body, how I feel physically. You know, I don't want to escape that. I want to embrace it and create what I want. So empowerment coaching is work that I'm absolutely compelled to do. The word empowerment actually was something I came to after years of figuring out what is this exactly that I'm doing. Before it was helping, before it was guiding, then it was fixing, and then no, I'm not doing any of that. It's empowerment coaching because what I want is for you to feel the same way. I want you to feel empowered rather than reliant on me or anybody else to do that for you, and not to see yourself as broken or needs to be fixed in any way, but that you're perfect and that you don't need to be fixed, and that all you need is some empowerment in ways and the vision and the information and the encouragement to keep going on your path and to know that you're always healing and that you have the power to alleviate and reduce those feelings of dis-ease that you may be experiencing in maybe a more fearful or less empowered way. We want you to be more empowered and less fearful. So this work is it's not just a compulsion, it is my heart. So no kind of healing or sense of vitality can exist when you feel powerless. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with a financial crisis or a cancer diagnosis. If you wake in the morning overwhelmed by the day that has only just begun, spend the day either neglecting your own needs and body or dealing with some kind of chronic health condition, and fall into bed at night feeling defeated, there is very little room for joy, creativity, abundance. So many of us are overwhelmed and many are spinning our wheels in our own health. I know what that feels like. Absolutely. I've sometimes wondered if I would always suffer, hurt, worry, always worry. I really did wonder at one point, would I ever get past this worry, this discomfort? And that is a story for another time. But it seems easy to succumb, right? It seems easy to throw your hands up, to rant and rail, to find some release, but never change things. It seems easy to settle into a lot in life and be limited in our existence. But is that what we really want? Is that how we want to spend our hours, our days, our lives? The martyr, the overwhelmed parent, the sacrificial lamb, the fixer, the doer, the lost self, the woman in control of everything but barely and at what cost, or the man, the woman or man in control of everything but their own health and happiness. So it may seem easy when you don't want more to succumb to a limited existence of ill health and overwhelm. So if you don't want more, it's easy to succumb to that. To a lifetime spent doing things you don't want to do. It's not so easy to succumb when you do want more. When the concrete has been cracked and you see the golden Buddha inside. The pain you feel is not bad in any way. It's a clear and distinct no to that life and a push into what is waiting for you on the other side. That's when you roll up your sleeves, pick up the chisel and hammer, and start knocking that crap off. But then how do you take the time and energy it takes to do that if you have no time and energy to give? This is like, those are the number, well, there are three things: time, energy, and money. Those are the three things that I hear people tell me all the time that they don't have enough of. And I just say, you know what, look, make the time and cultivate the energy. Or it doesn't even always take necessarily energy if you're inspired. You don't even think about it in those terms. Literally, it's something you are compelled to do. So if I were to say, if I hated my job and it would take a lot of energy for me to do it. I would have to work myself up to it. I would have to just like, okay, Carla, you know, psych yourself up. Let's do this. And let's see this, you know, as a means to an end. You're going to get a paycheck in that by the end of the day. Right? That takes a lot of energy. But if we are inspired, it becomes a self-propelled motion. You know, it's where I'm excited to do that. I can't wait for my yoga. I'm actually really looking forward to X, Y, Z activity. And it gives me more energy to do the things I'm actually really enjoying in my life. And then the last thing is money, which we don't really have to address here. But okay, how much would you pay for your health? How much would you, you know, and we don't value our own health in that way, putting in, you know, the money it takes to actually eat a little better or maybe pay a practitioner that's going to help you with these things. Because we're not used to that kind of exchange when it comes to our well-being. So it's a very interesting conundrum. So those things, how much time? So how do you take that time and energy? Well, you, like I said, make the time, cultivate the energy, and assign or reallocate your money. So I suppose it is to create more, right? So like I said, with the energy, to create something out of what was seemingly nothing, to realize and tap into our limitlessness. Now, isn't that beautiful? We are limitless. I mean, just listen to some of Dr. Joe Dispenza's recordings. He's got hundreds and hundreds of hours of writings and recordings and podcasts and interviews and meditative recordings that you can listen to. Limitless, coming from a man who healed his broken back, right? Limits are merely illusions, and I can see through that illusion and want you to see it too. I want you to not only see your own power, but also feel it and have that be the catalyst for your healing. So if you're feeling unfulfilled, overworked, and undernourished in body, mind, and soul, if your kids or spouse have some kind of diagnosis, if you are not well yourself, or if you are feeling overwhelmed, depressed, anxious, alone, defeated, stuck, I want to tell you two things, and don't you forget this. You are not alone, and you can change it. And actually, I would add, there is nothing wrong with you, and you are not broken. One more thing, you are perfect. How about that? So years back, when my family was just about ready to move into the house we built mainly with our bare hands, and that's the home we call home and we live in right now, so at least most of us do. There's a few that have flown the nest. My husband and I were at the storage bay where we keep all our stuff. We were transitioning from our sold house to our new home. Meanwhile, all five of us living with my mom and sharing one of her bedrooms. So this was like an 800 square foot house, and we were crammed into one bedroom, and we literally had a couple of mattresses on the floor. Three mattresses on the floor and a bed, or two mattresses on the floor. So there was Brent and I, Izzy in the middle in the bed, and then the other two on mattresses on the floor. Literally, that's what we did while we finished building our house. So I was looking for our mattresses from our old house and a few other items to take to the new house. And I found myself neck deep in furniture and boxes. So this was like the entire contents of a whole house in a storage bin, and I was looking to get some things out of there to bring to our new house. So after a few moments, I found what I was looking for wedged in good between the contents of an entire household. I promised my children we'd spend Christmas in the new home, and we were really not even close to being living. Well, we were about 3 weeks away from being able to live there, but I didn't care. I was like, okay, we're going to spend Christmas there. We're going to at least spend one night in our new home. And there was no doubt in my mind that was exactly what we were going to do. I was going to dig out that mattress, strap it onto the trailer with the rest of the stuff I selected, and haul it out to our place to sleep on that night while Santa filled our stockings. So when my husband stepped back and declared there was no way I was going to be able to get it out, I said, watch me. So instead of helping, he watched as I climbed up onto teetering furniture, planted my feet, gripped that mattress, and started to pull. Later, he told me his progression of thinking as he watched when something like this, and it literally took him years to admit this, that he was thinking this. First, he thinks, there's no way she's going to budge that. Next, she won't get it. Next, she's getting it. She's going to get it. What the hell? She got it. So this is literally his progression of thinking. And you can hear me smiling. I'm sure you can. So I smile every time I think about that day. I cheer for myself and celebrate my win. This story is a tiny example of the sometimes daily process of overcoming illusionary limitations. Illusionary. We make these for ourselves. We limit ourselves, even when we believe the limitations other people seem to place upon us. So overcoming illusionary limitations, having the determination, tenacity, strength, and belief to make things happen, but with a calmness that involves focus, innovation, and not listening to any naysayers, but what you know you have it in you to do when you want to do it. Now, of course, that takes a cultivation of your own power. It takes self-love. It takes confidence. And that all happens when we start to become aware, when we start listening to ourselves, when we start practices of meditation and yoga and self-care, self-love. Those things will start to make you feel stronger, even when you start off thinking, I've got nothing left. Even when you think you have nothing, there is always something. All you need is a spark in the dry grass. So whether it begins with a tentative toe in the water, a footfall onto the forest path, or a headlong running into the wind, let's move toward the uncovering of your own golden Buddha, the reawakening of your inner dragon, the tuning into your wise sage, the expression of your love, passion, and values, the training and cultivation of your peaceful warrior. So again, what does this take? It takes recognizing conflicts and traumas. It takes encouraging post-event growth. It takes recognizing your power, limitlessness, and your body and mind's constant and consistent process of healing. It takes being curious about the process rather than pathologizing them. Knowing there is nothing wrong with you, nor are you broken. All of this will reduce fear, right? So again, putting us into the rest and digest and repair phase. It will increase confidence and enable you to drop any diagnosis you may have been given. And let me emphasize that. Enable you to drop any diagnosis you may have been given. I will say thank you for that gift you think that you've given me in this diagnosis, but I will happily return it. No, thank you. I'll return that gift. Thank you. So there are many supportive therapies and practices that can be employed that I employ in my health empowerment method. There are many supportive lifestyle and nutrition interventions such as sleep and rest, exercise and movement, play and creativity, connection with family, friends, and community, diet and nutrition. The sky is the limit, but there are other areas to focus on. So, and those could be body work, posture, massage, and myofascial release. There is breathing, meditation, mindfulness, and gratitude. Movement like Tai Chi, Qigong, and of course my beloved yoga. And then brain body activities like the Anat Banyal method and the Alexander technique. There are thoughts and thinking, you know, methods of that. Of are thoughts really, you know, thoughts or things, pick the good ones. And are those thoughts really me, or it's just something that comes to mind and I can consider and let them go? We have behavior awareness and communication, very important, and energetic work and existential contemplation. So in the HFF Health Empowerment Method, in this model and the method that we use to move people to a state of wellness, like true, robust vitality, we dig into the concepts, perceptions, and programs that control your health and well-being. We clean out the debris and mine and polish the gems inside so you can first see your best self and then be your best self. And yeah, I do. I love metaphor. I'm just a crazy about the metaphor. But you see it, right? You see it. You see it when we use metaphor, that we are mining and polishing the gems inside. Love it. So we also can help to release ourselves. So my goal is to help you to release yourself from overwhelm, stress, and reacting to life, to learning how to move out of survival mode so that you can respond and to handle what comes with grace, health, and vitality, a life that you deserve to live. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed this third installment, the last installment of the 3-session empowerment coaching series. And I'm going to leave you with 3 final questions that I would really love for you to engage with. What do you think is holding you back from your best life, your best state of health? That's question number 1. Question number 2, what got you into the state of health you are in now? And question number 3, are you ready to let go of what you thought you knew and how you live now for something better?